Hi, it's Tony Bruschi. When you're not enjoying our haunting episodes of The Grave Talks, I invite you to check out our true crime and disaster podcast, Dark Side of Wikipedia, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday. Just search Dark Side of Wikipedia wherever you download podcasts. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of a recent episode of Dark Side of Wikipedia. When you go to the doctor for medical treatment, at the very least, you hope that their interest is to make you better. Not so in the case of Harold Shipman, a practicing English general practitioner who was behind at least 15 deaths of patients under his care. What drove him to such depravity and death? That's what we ask today on The Dark Side of Wikipedia.
Sometimes the human mind goes to dark places. Sometimes those dark delusions turn into a reality. A reality so shaded and gray, once all is said and done, the healthy mind is drawn into the documented retelling of these tragic events, trying to find logic, reason, and understanding where there may be none at all. This is The Dark Side of Wikipedia.
Harold Frederick Shipman, known to acquaintances as Fred Shipman, was an English general practitioner who's believed to be one of the most prolific serial killers in modern history. On the 31st of January 2000, he was found guilty of the murder of 15 patients under his care. His total number of victims was approximately 250. Shipman was sentenced to life imprisonment with the recommendation that he never be released. He died by suicide, hanging himself in his cell at HM Prison, Wakefield, West Yorkshire, on the 13th of January, 2004, a day before his 58th birthday. The Shipman Inquiry, a two-year-long investigation of all deaths certified by Shipman, which Dame Janet Smith chaired, examined Shipman's crimes. The inquiry identified 218 victims and estimated his total victim count at 250, about 80% of whom were elderly women. Shipman's youngest confirmed victim was a 41-year-old man, although suspicion arose that he had killed patients as young as four. He's the only British doctor to have been found guilty of murdering his patients, although other doctors have been acquitted of similar crimes or convicted on lesser charges. So here we go, Dark Side of Wikipedia. This sounds like a lovely individual here. If you like our program, please become a Dark Sider. Get all the bonus content, all the advanced episodes, the final chapters. Do that over at patreon.com/darksideofwikipedia, or go to our website, darksideofwiki.com, and click become a Dark Sider. Help keep us on the air. Press subscribe wherever you download the podcasts. It's Tony and Sean with you today. It's kind of amazing that someone can get away with that many deaths under their belt. I mean, I get you're a doctor. You're going to come in contact with death a lot more frequently than, Vic from Vic's Breaks and More. But 250 in a kind of condensed period of time, is that not a high number?
You know, I'd say that's above the average there, Tony. People get into the medical field for many reasons, to save lives, to cure childhood cancer, to be a very specialized specialist in some care, to assist or to kill people.
I'm guessing that's not, I mean, what happens, I mean, what I love to do, honestly, is go back to high school days where they would have us fill out those things on computers where it was like, put your interest in, answer these questions, and then it tells you what your suggested career path should be. I'd love to just do it in a very tongue-in-cheek, screwed-up sort of way and see where it suggests you go if all the answers you filled out really kind of go along hand-in-hand with like a sociopath of something.
And to have some teacher or some yearbook director in the middle of the yearbook, most likely to be a serial killer, most likely to throw babies in a trunk, most likely to publicly expose themselves at Target.
Yeah, I think those should be things that are now put in the yearbooks rather than just most likely to succeed. Like, no, let's get a little more detailed here, because this is more likely of what's going to happen in life than succeed or do this. Like, let's get really specific. Most likely to go through medical school and eventually kill 250 people. I guess that's the thing. I mean, to become a doctor is not an easy task. And once you get there, what the hell?
I mean, what's very interesting is if you were to talk to some of Old Harold's teachers back in his early youth, I would imagine they would say he had perseverance. As you said, getting through medical school only to be able to become a doctor. Not a lot of people do it because it is insanely difficult. You have to be persistent. You have to be intelligent. You have to, I mean, so many things just to be able to put on the white coat. And then for it to go to this, what I'm excited to find out is this something that spurred from his early childhood that he ultimately took a diversion or some type of release on killing people? Or yeah. This only became recent day when he was already in the medical profession and it went from a very good place of being a doctor to the opposite of.
A very dark place of being a doctor. Let's jump into more of his backstory and his history. And learn a little bit more about Harold Frederick Shipman. He was born on the 14th of January, 1946, on the Bestwood Council Estate in Nottinghamshire, England. Second of three children of Harold Frederick Shipman, a truck driver, and Vera Britton. His working-class parents were devout Methodists. When growing up, Shipman was an accomplished rugby player in youth leagues. Shipman passed his 11-plus in 1957, moving to High Pavement Grammar School, Nottingham, which he left in 1964. He excelled as a distance runner and in his final year at school served a vice-captain role of the athletic team. Shipman was particularly close to his mother, who died of lung cancer when he was age 17. Her death came in a manner similar to what later became Shipman's own modus operandi. In later stages of her disease, she had morphine administered at home by a doctor. Shipman witnessed his mother's pain subside despite her terminal condition until her death on the 21st of June, 1963. On the 5th of November, 1966, he married Primrose May Oxtoby. The couple had four children. Shipman studied medicine at Leeds School of Medicine, University of Leeds, graduating in 1970. He began working at Pontefract General Infirmary in Pontefract West Riding of Yorkshire, and in 1974 took his first position as a general practitioner at the Abraham Umarad Medical Center in Todmorden. In the following year, Shipman was caught forging prescriptions of Demerol for his own use. He was fined $600 and briefly attended a drug rehabilitation clinic in York. He became a GP at the Donnybrook Medical Center in Hyde near Manchester in 1977. Shipman continued working as a GP in Hyde throughout the 1980s and established his own surgery at 21 Market Street in 1993, becoming a respected member of the community. In 1983, he was interviewed in an edition of the Granada television documentary World in Action on how the mentally ill should be treated in the community. A year after his conviction, the interview was rebroadcast on Tonight with Trevor MacDonald. In March of 1998, Dr. Linda Reynolds of the Brook Surgery in Hyde expressed concerns to John Pollard, the coroner of the South Manchester District, about the high death rate among Shipman's patients. In particular, she was concerned about the large number of cremation forms for elderly women that he had needed countersigned. Police were unable to find sufficient evidence to bring charges and close the investigation on the 17th of April. The Shipman inquiry later blamed the Greater Manchester Police for assigning inexperienced officers to the case. After the investigation was closed, Shipman killed three more people. In August, taxi driver John Shaw told the police that he suspected Shipman of murdering 21 patients. Shaw became suspicious as many of the elderly customers he took to the hospital, who seemed to be in good health, died in Shipman's care. Shipman's last victim was Kathleen Grundy, who was found dead at her home on the 24th of June, 1998. It was the last person to see her alive. He later signed her death certificate, recording the cause of death as old age. Grundy's daughter, lawyer Angela Woodruff, became concerned when solicitor Brian Burgess informed her that a will had been made, apparently by her mother, with doubts about its authenticity. The will excluded Woodruff and her children, but left $386,000 to Shipman. At Burgess urging, Woodruff went to the police, who began an investigation. Grundy's body was exhumed and found to contain traces of heroin, often used for pain control in terminal cancer patients. Shipman claimed that Grundy had been an addict and showed them comments he had written to that effect in his computerized medical journal. However, examination of his computer showed that they were written after her death. Shipman was arrested on the 7th of September, 1998, and was found to own a Brother typewriter, the kind used to make the forged will. Prescription for Murder, a 2000 book by journalist Brian Whittle and Gene Ritchie, suggested that Shipman forged the will either because he wanted to be caught, because his life was out of control, or because he planned to retire at 55 and then leave the UK. The police investigated other deaths Shipman had certified and investigated 15 specimen cases. They discovered a pattern of his administering lethal doses of diopramine, signing patients' death certificates, and then falsifying medical records to indicate that they had been in poor health. So this guy, it would be a red flag if suddenly your parent dies and you're not in the will, but somehow the doctor that she died underneath is like the head of the will and gets mostly everything. That's usually not how wills work.
So we found out that, is this something that stemmed from Harold's early childhood or something that transpired in professional life? It was the latter. Yeah, this is absolutely something not normal whatsoever. And is it a coincidence that he also happens to be a doctor and this doctor got a crap ton of money? If somebody dies and I benefit from it in receiving a lot of money, I would absolutely consider, how did she die? I know it was my mom, but what elixir that allowed her to die? Maybe I'll do that and make the checking account balance a little bit higher.
That's the preview. If you want to hear the full episode, be sure to subscribe to Dark Side of Wikipedia wherever you download podcasts and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday.